The reading today is Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that he, the Lord, is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.
Well, good morning again, everyone. What an awesome time of worship that was. So great just to give God all the glory, just declare that he is Lord and that he is worthy of it all. Well, today, I felt on my heart to share with you guys just a few thoughts about our personal times with God and how they look. And kind of, there's lots of different aspects of that, obviously. It's reading the Bible, there's going out for a walk in the forest and being in his creation and experiencing him there. But particularly, I felt on my heart to share about a bit about prayer and about worship and also how we come to God. So first of all, we need to remember that when we come to Jesus, we're children of the King. We're sons and daughters of the King. Ephesians 1 verse 4 and 5 talks about in love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So it's in accordance with his pleasure and his will that we can come in and be children of God. And that's amazing. And we should always remember that, you know, he longs and desires for us to be in his presence. And so we can come with that sense of joy and knowing that we're loved by the King. He might be the Almighty God and the Creator, but yet he loves each one of us more intimately than anyone that we know on earth. And that's important and precious to hold on to. And the more we behold him, the more we love him. And the more he becomes the focus of our thoughts, the more we realize how awesome he is. And the fact that when we look and gaze on his beauty, that actually, that is the most important thing in our lives. And the other stuff just falls away. There's a great quote from a Hillsong song, which is called, from a song called Behold. It says, the things of the earth stand next to him like a candle to the sun. And it's so true that God is so awesome. And when we have that glimpse of him and his beauty, that becomes the thing that is way surpassing all the other things. And even the things that we treasure in this world suddenly look like they're nothing. And the more we spend time with him, the more our relationship with him grows. And it sounds obvious, but actually, you know, with anyone that we know on earth, we know that if we don't spend time with that person, that relationship can become a bit stale and become a bit more distant. And so we need to be intentional with relationships. And it's the same with God. With God, we need to be prepared to take that time to spend in his presence. To drink from him, receive from him, but also to show him how much we love him and to give him and shower our love all upon him in our times with him. And the more we behold him, the more we become like him. You know, when Moses came down from the mountain, Pete was talking a lot about the glory of the Lord last week. When Moses came down from the mountain, he had to wear a veil to protect the people from his radiance. Because God changes us so much that we can actually then reflect his beauty. But Corinthians tells us that in the new covenant, we can now reflect the glory of the Lord because we have unveiled faces. So we can actually reflect his beauty to the people around us. And they can see the glory of the Lord through the people that we are because Jesus is shining through us. And that means we can impact our worlds and impact the people around us and the people we love. And the love of the Father is our source of strength. When we're in those moments with him intimately, one-on-one, we gaze on his beauty. That love that he has for us. When we fix our eyes on that, and we make that our priority and our thoughts, and we let that meditate in our hearts and in our spirits, then there is a real strength that comes from that. And I love in Good Grace, one of the songs we sing here, you know, fix our eyes on this one truth that God's madly in love with you. And in those really difficult times, if you do that, and I've seen that in the last few weeks in particular, you really just change. Your just perspective, just your heart just goes out to God, and then all the other stuff just fades away. And when we're in those moments with him, we can draw from him and his strength. And we also know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And again, it's being in his presence that joy comes. We know from Psalm 16, verse 11, in his presence there's fullness of joy. And so when we're in his presence, that joy is imparted to us. And because of his love, we can praise him. And so I want to talk a bit about praise and thanksgiving, because praise and thanksgiving in our personal relationship, personal devotional times, is also really important with God. So quick few things. Why do we praise? Sounds like an obvious question, but actually, there's a lot of different answers to it, and they're all really amazing. And we saw from Psalm 100, which Stacey read for us beautifully earlier, that looking at verse 3, it's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So we can rejoice in the fact that we belong to him, that we are a children of God. But also but going down to verse 5, the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So we can stand firm on his promises. Hebrews 12 talks about, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So we're receiving the kingdom, and that's worthy of praise. Nehemiah 9, verses 5 and 6. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that's in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. So he made everything. He's creator, but also he gives life, and life abundantly. And we know that from John 10, verse 10. And we sing that song as well, you know. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. And it's getting that back to that place of the core of our worship is because God has given us life, and he's given us breath, and he's given us eternal life. And when we praise and worship in spirit and in truth, it opens something in our hearts in a new way, and activates something in the heavenly realms. So when we come to God and we just give over everything to him as a priority, and we pour out our praise to him, no matter what's going on in our situation, things change in the heavenly realms, and we start to see amazing things happen around us. But it also worship also refocuses us and realigns us to the most important thing in our lives, and that's Jesus. And when Jesus is our focus, we get the right perspective and we get the eternal perspective and not the small perspective that we have, that we think is the right perspective necessarily. There's always something that God teaches us when we bring something that's really on our hearts to him about a situation. And so if you don't currently do a lot of personal worship, I'd really encourage each one of you to make it part of your personal devotional each day. Because it really does change your heart. It really does impact you deeply. And when our hearts are aligned to him in worship, that is where the fruit flows. Because we're coming always back to him, and we're coming from the place of being filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that comes through spending time with him in worship. And also, one of the other main ways we commune with God is through prayer. And this is something we're called to do. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Sounds quite a tall order. Pray continuously. But when we have that constant communion in God, we hear his heart for the situations, and we're able to be a conduit of his love and his beauty. And also, if you're struggling with God's will for your life, then this is a great place to start. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God for your life. So if you're not sure, then, you know, go from a place of that and see what God reveals and see how he guides you. Because as Kevin often says, God always steers a moving vehicle. And often God calls us to step out first and then he acts. But he requires us to take that first step sometimes. And also Ephesians 6, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So this reminds us that not only are we to pray continuously, but we're to pray for God's people. So often we can sometimes get fixated on praying to God about the stuff that affects our lives and affects what we're going on. But actually, his heart is also for us to pray for others. And actually, I believe the more we focus on others in prayer, the more we often see results. Because it's God's heart for us to be a people who go out there and affect communities and have changed lives. We're already saved. And so, you know, we can keep praying stuff for ourselves, and that's good. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But actually, there's a greater, you know, excitement when we go out there and we make disciples of the nations, and we focus our hearts and our attention on the people who are lost, because actually that's what we're called to do, and that's what we're supposed to go out and do. And so if we fix our eyes on the things in which the ways in which we can bless others and the ways in which we can bring them into the kingdom and see healing and deliverance in people's lives, then that is a really good place to be. But on the flip side of that, we can sometimes spend all the time praying about other people that we don't actually pray for ourselves. And I think that's also something that God doesn't want us to do, because we can get so caught up in other people's situations that actually we might be praying for amazing things to happen in other people's lives, but then we realize that we miss the connection and the relationship with God ourselves. And we always have to come from that place to do these things. So don't miss out on the relationship that God wants to have with you personally, because that will strengthen you and it will give you that firm foundation, and it will allow you to be able to bear fruit for the kingdom and lasting fruit for the kingdom. So we can bring our requests to God and what's on his heart. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." And Hebrews 4:14-16 reminds us, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may be able to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So God always wants to answer our prayer. He's always ready to answer our prayer. And we should come knowing that that's his heart. His heart is always to bless, and his heart is always to feed his children with everything that they need. And we know he's already given us every spiritual blessing. I believe that's in 1 Peter. It talks about that. And so we can be confident coming to the throne of grace, knowing that God knows our situation, and he loves us, and he cares for us, and he wants us to be prosperous and to move into his victory in every single way. But sometimes our priorities in prayer can mean we miss the point. Our time with God should be about his presence and not what we want from him. When we spend time with him and we come from a place of just wanting to be with God and wanting to know God, that's when we have true communion with God. Because God really wants a relationship. What he doesn't want from us is a list of requests as if sent by email, and then we just let them go. You know, he wants to have dinner with us. He wants to spend time with us like we would spend time with our best friend or our father. You know, he is so into relationship that, you know, he just wants to be with us, and he wants us to get that, that above all else, all the other stuff is great, all the requests, you know, seeking the lost, you know, all these things are amazing, but God's real heart is just to know us and just to be in relationship, and he loves that so much that he sent Jesus to die for us, so that we could be with him, and we could have that relationship with him, and share that relationship with others. But the more we're with him, the more we're changed by him, and the more we get his heart. Because when we receive from him and we see what he thinks of situations and what he wants to do, we start to understand deeply what our Father's about, and that releases greater love and greater, greater heart for him and for the things of God. And yeah, Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Sometimes we don't necessarily feel like we're connecting with God, but we need to come from that place of really wanting to know him and really wanting to seek him, and not just using our times with God as a tick box that, oh yeah, I've done my 15 minutes with God, you know, so I can move on with my day. But actually, you know, really have a heart to seek who he is and seek his face and be changed. You know, when we come into our times with God and we come from a place of surrender, you know, we can come and present our situation and say, this is what I think, but I'm prepared to lay all that down for what you think, because what you think is true and what I think is just what I think. So ultimately, I want your perspective, because your perspective is going to bring fruit. And even if I don't like your perspective is still going to pull me up. So even though it might offend me, I'm going to choose not to be offended, and I'm going to choose to listen to what you're saying and act on it. And that's when we really start to wrestle with God, and really, whenever we're in that place of wrestle, it's a place that we can actually grow in. It's a place that God's calling us to step up and be a new people and to go deeper with him. And we should always take those things as encouragements and not discouragements. You know, not, oh, God, you know, that's another thing I'm rubbish at. Or, oh, no, that's another thing that I'm failing at. You know, God's heart is to pull us out of all these things. He reveals certain things to us because he wants us to go deeper with him, and he wants us to get into greater freedom. So yeah, we need to come fixed on Christ when we come to him. Matthew 6:31-33 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you." So again, it's having that eternal perspective of, okay, God, what can I do to build your kingdom today? And even if we come with stuff, you know, I'm willing to lay those things down to see what you want me to do. And when we get his agenda and his heart, again, that really changes our perspective on situations. And that allows us to really see things from the right perspective. And sometimes, I don't know if you also like this, sometimes, you know, there are times when we're tempted to kind of get on with our day and we don't spend as much time in prayer as we should, or we are tempted to skip prayer and just carry on. But actually, you know, if we don't actually feel the need to pray, I want to suggest to you that sometimes we don't feel the need to pray because we know we can fulfill our dreams, which shows that we don't have a God-sized dream. If we don't have that place of knowing that we need God in order to accomplish what he's called us to, then actually it's not of God, because every God-assigned task requires us to have God, because it's always bigger than what we can achieve. So he has to be able to intervene, and that gives us that place of really being able to come to him and seek those things. And maybe you're in a place where actually you don't feel like that really applies to you and you don't actually have that God-sized dream, well, I'd really encourage you guys, if that's where you're at, go and do some prayer walking. Go down the streets and imagine every person out of those houses coming to Jesus on the next Sunday and seeing this church like expand beyond its walls. And just imagine how that could happen. And the people in your workplace and the people that you go and see when you have family over or when you with other people you might meet. And just imagine them kind of with Jesus and how that would change their hearts and their lives and how the victory that they might need in their lives could be achieved and how that would transform them. And start praying into these things, because when God stirs that passion within you, it will then just transform and overflow in everything you do, and you'll get that heart for his kingdom in a much deeper way, and you'll start to pray more and you'll start to see fruit because we start to have the right things of God in mind as we pray. And sometimes as well, we can sometimes pray about things that actually God's already given us the mandate to do. You know, sometimes, you know, we see, you know, situations on the news of natural disasters and so on, and we pray into those. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. But actually, you know, we're called to bind up the brokenhearted, and we're called to set the prisoners free. And actually, something we can do is we can, if those things are particularly stirring our hearts, is we can give to those things. We can invest time, maybe even to go out and bless those people and do something. And so actually, the prayer that God puts on our heart might be something completely different. That is something that really we can affect. But other things, we can just step out and do, because he's given us that mandate. You know, he's called us to go out and to heal the sick and to bring deliverance to people. And that's something we can command, because we're carriers of his authority and we're carriers of his kingdom. And so we can with every step, you know, claim ground for the kingdom. And we can do these things. And we need to be in communion with God to have that authority and to do those things. But actually, once we're children of God and we're righteous and we're saved, we can actually just do and walk in these ways. And we don't need to worry about praying about them, because God's already given us the mandate to go and do them. So we need to put our faith into action sometimes and get on with the stuff that God's told us to get on with, rather than, you know, asking him to intervene into something that he's already, you know, given us to do. You know, I heard an illustration the other day of, you know, a police chief officer getting a call from one of his other officers saying, oh, there's a guy here who's, you know, he's stealing this stuff from the bank, and, you know, I really need you to come over and, you know, sort him out and arrest him. And it's like, well, you're the officer as well. You know, you've got that authority. You know, go use it, you know. And sometimes we just need to know who we are in Christ and just to trust that he's made us who we are, and he says we are who he says we are. And just believe we're children of God and we've got that inheritance. And we can walk in it and enjoy being children of the King. And we can start to see the blessing of God in whole new ways. But if we do find ourselves in a storm, I want to encourage you guys that actually we can lift up a shout of praise and change life. Situations around us can change. You know, when Paul and Silas were in prison, they prayed and they praised God. And when that happened, chains broke. And not even their chains broke. Their chains broke and the chains of all the other prisoners broke because of the power that was in that praise. And that reminds us as well that the victories that we win can actually be victories for other people. And so we can when we set up for something victorious in our hearts, you know, and then we see someone who's going through a similar thing, we actually can then carry an anointing to break the yoke on that person and pray for them and see deliverance and whatever it is they need, because actually we've already walked that journey for them. And that's a really exciting mandate to carry. So if you're going through something tough, you know, think about the victory and think about how that can affect others. and other people you know in it, and that gives you an extra impetus in that situation. And also, we see from the story of Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 20, the power of praise. You know, he's told that there is, he's the king of Judah, and he is the king of Judah, and he's told that there are two armies coming up, standing up against him, the Ammonites and the Moabites, and he's given this bad news, but instead of feeling sorrowful, he calls a day of prayer and fasting for all the people of Judah. And when they are given the word of the Lord, that actually it's the battle belongs to the Lord, and they just have to stand and be firm. They give praise to God. And then when they set out, Jehoshaphat sends out his warrior praises, who just come out with their instruments, and they just shout out praise to God. And he just brings the victory. He just wipes out all the people. You know, in verse 21, where is it? In verse 22, he says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. So God just brought the victory. And all they did was have to step and stand firm and just declare that the victory belongs to the Lord. And that in praise, you know, they're looking to God for his miracle working power and standing firm on his word. And that's what we have to do. We have to come into alignment with what he says and not what we feel. And when we do that, you know, it doesn't matter what we're going with, our situation can change. And when we spend that time with God, whether it's in the morning or in the evening or a different time, you know, we can still always come from a place of praise and a place of victory, knowing what he's done and what he will do, because he's a miracle worker. He's the promise keeper and the light in the darkness. That's who he is. And even when we see it, and even when we don't feel it, he's working. Even when we don't see it, he's working. So we can trust in the fact that God is never going to let us go, and he's always going to be there for us. So I'd really like to encourage each one of you to just take time out of your lives to really rest in God's presence, and get his perspective on situations, and see what he speaks to you and what he wants to do, rather than what you see. And when we do that, we get to know his heart, and our hearts change, and our perspectives change, our priorities change, and our desires change, and ultimately our lives change. And maybe you're here and you actually haven't surrendered to God yet, because this requires surrender. This requires you to say to God, I'm willing to let go of the stuff that I feel is important, so that I can have your perspective on it, and so that you can really speak to me about these things. And it requires our hearts to recognize that the kingdom is greater than anything that we might hold dear, and that through following Christ, he can bring everything we need, and he can supply all our needs. And maybe you're in a place where you haven't surrendered. And I really want to give you an opportunity today to respond to Jesus. It might be for the first time, or it might be after a little while and you're coming back to God. But yeah, if we could all just close our eyes as I pray a prayer. If you want to be in on that, then I'd really encourage you to just pray this prayer with me. And just to receive Jesus for yourself. Lord, I thank you for your goodness towards me. I thank you for your heart for me. I thank you that you want to speak life and bring freedom into my heart. And Lord, I thank you that you paid the price for me. I thank you that you have forgiven my sins through the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you rose again victorious. And I can walk in your victory and walk in your amazing grace. And Lord, I surrender to you everything that I have for your kingdom's cause. And Father, I surrender my heart to you today to know you as Father and to know you as Lord in my life. And if you prayed that prayer, I'd really encourage you to just raise your hand so I can pray for you in the week. God bless you. Lord, I thank you for the response today. I thank you for the person who raised their hand. And for anyone else who wasn't quite brave enough as well, Lord, you know their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you just seal them with your love, Lord, and that they just receive afresh your total love for them and your grace. And I pray, God, that you guide them through their surrender, Lord, and you encourage them and build them up in a whole new way so they can stand on the truth of your word and be empowered by the life that you give and the freedom that you give. And Lord, well, everyone, I should say, if you're a Christian here today, I really felt as well that there might be something in this to you that you recognize that needs to change in your personal devotional time with God. It might be commitment to making more time for God. It could be spending more time in worship. It could be coming to seek his agenda rather than your own. Or even coming with thanksgiving. Maybe you often come with God with a list of complaints, but actually he's calling you to come in place of thankfulness. Maybe it's even just coming as a child and recognizing who you are in Christ and that you're loved and that you're always cherished by him and you can come to him as a child. And maybe it's actually seeking him that you need to do more rather than seeking what he can give you. And if it's any of those things, and you really want to say to God, I want to step into this in a new way, and I want to commit to being someone who does that, whatever that looks like for you, then I really want to encourage you to just raise your hand as a sign of declaration to God that you're going to do something different. Awesome. So many different hands going up. It's incredible. Lord, I just pray for each person who's responded now and for anyone else who wants to respond as well, Lord, that you would just encourage them and that you would just plant something really significant in their hearts to seek you on a new level and to know your heart even more than they already know. And I pray, Lord, that you just guide and bless them in their devotional times, and may they be able to find that time to carve out of their day to spend with you and be replenished and refreshed in your word and in your presence, and to receive that fullness of joy that comes from being in your presence, Lord, so that they can be people who overflow in your kingdom power and anointed by the Spirit to do amazing works of God, to affect their communities, affect the people they love, and be kingdom ambassadors for you, Lord. In your name, Jesus. Amen.